Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Listen to what the Lord wants to say to us today. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Lord, your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God, we know that you're here this morning. That you're here and you want to speak to your people. And so, Jesus, we ask that you would move here this morning, that you would speak to us. We pray against all distraction. We might be listening for your voice today. It's your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it good? Isn't it really, really good that we have a good Father, a God who even when we don't want to listen to him, that he still pursues us, that he actually still speaks words of love and compassion, that he still calls us back to the way we are to live. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when it comes to this, I wonder if God looks at me and he sees me crisscross applesauce with my fingers in my ear and going, nah, 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 I don't want to hear you. I just wonder if that's how he views me sometimes. But it's just good to take a moment and think, man, it's good to have a good Father, a God who relentlessly pursues us, who relentlessly speaks into our lives. Well, good morning. I'm so excited that you're here this morning. If you're new to Mosaic, my name is Matt. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, serve on the staff team. As Jason said, today we start a new series entitled God Speaks, Promises of Justice, Mercy, Hope. We're going to spend the next several weeks in what's known as the Book of the 12, or also called the Minor Prophets. And these 12 books are contained in what we know as the Old Testament. Jason Simmons, one of our other teaching pastors last week, said that these books are called the Minor Prophets because they are relatively short in length compared to some of the other prophet writings, but their message, what's contained in the books, is in no way minor. Over these summer months, we're going to see that the Creator God, his name is Yahweh, is a God who communicates with his people, the Israelites. Through the Minor Prophets, he spoke to Israel to remind her of their covenant relationship. God warned and disciplined Israel when she was being unfaithful to the covenant. He addressed their injustices of his own people as well as the injustices done by other nations, all the while calling humanity, calling people to return to a relationship with him, offering hope for a future kingdom. God still speaks today. He invites us into an ongoing interaction of love and dialogue with him. He challenges us to live as people who've heard his voice and who have his heart for justice, his heart for mercy, his heart for hope. We're going to see today that not only is God a God who communicates, and not only is God a God of justice and mercy and hope, but that these attributes are actually intrinsic in his nature. They're actually woven into his character and who he is. For the Israelite people and for you and me, that's really good news. We have three desires, three objectives for this series this summer. I want to share them with you. One, as a family, we want to practice hearing from God. God speaks to the scriptures through other believers and through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is where we've been heading as a church family and where we actually want to continue to head. We want to grow as disciples of Jesus who hear and then respond to God. Two, as a family, we want to grow as people who return to God for relationship. It's in this relationship we experience our true identity and find human flourishing. God is always pursuing his people, and we want to grow a healthy rhythm of returning to the one who loves us most. And three, as a family, we want to live as people of justice, mercy, and hope. We want to be people that live in light of reality that God is always at work despite the times we see or feel differently. We believe God has painted a picture of everlasting hope for the whole world to see in the person of Jesus. And he invites you and I, the people who follow Jesus, to play a part in that picture. So again, three things. As a family this summer, we want to practice hearing from God. We want to grow as people who return to God for a relationship. And we want to learn to live as people of justice, mercy, and hope. We won't actually be in a minor prophet book today, but we will get to that next week. We will be looking at stories in the same time period with the intention of kind of setting a clear path and understanding for our series. We'll dive into the world that the minor prophets wrote in and look at God's heart for human beings, God's heart for the way he intends people to live. Today I want to look at four different stories, three in the Old Testament and one in the New. The first story is about justice. The second story we're going to look at is about mercy. And then the last two stories we're going to look at are about hope. Before we do jump into today's text, I think it's important for me to share a few things that we have an understanding of kind of what's going on. A few moments ago, I mentioned that God had a covenant relationship with the Israelites. A covenant is simply a partnership. In a covenant, God makes certain promises and in return, asks his partners to follow through on certain commitments. We see that God actually, his intent in these covenants is to somehow use it to renew his partnership with all people that was lost when humanity rebelled against God in the original garden. We see a few different covenants God makes in the Old Testament. The first one we see is in Genesis 6. God has actually just flooded the earth because of humanity's overwhelming sin and rebellion. God makes a covenant with a man named Noah. God promises that even though human beings will continue to sin, even though they will continue in their rebellion and brokenness and turn away from God, that God promises that he will never destroy the earth again. God knows that humanity will continue to rebel, but he says he will keep this promise. In Genesis 15, God makes a second covenant with a man named Abraham. God promises to bless Abraham and to make him into a big family and to give him land. And in return, God asks Abraham to follow and trust him and to raise his family to live as just and righteous people. And somehow, through this covenant, God will bring blessing to all peoples of the world through this one family. Generations later, Abraham's family grows. God's faithful to this covenant, and it grows into the tribe of Israel. We see in the book of Exodus that God actually rescues the people of Israel who are enslaved in Egypt and brings them out of Egypt. And he makes a covenant with them. God asks them to follow a set of laws, something that we know as the Ten Commandments. They were guidelines for how to be the people of God. They said things like, don't murder and don't steal. and don't worship false gods. God said to the people, if you follow these laws, I will bless you and use you to be my representatives to all the world. But if you don't follow these laws, I will judge you. We see the last covenant that God makes in the Old Testament with a man named David. Israel had grown into a large nation ruled by a man named David. God makes a covenant with him and his people and asks them to partner with him in obeying the law and living as people of justice and hope. And in return, God promised that in the future, a king from David's descendants would rule over all the nations of the earth, all the while establishing God's peace and blessing for all of humanity. These were the covenants that God made in order to make right what had gone terribly wrong in his good creation. They were God's way of ushering in his way of living. But generation after generation after generation, we see the people of Israel break the covenants they made with God. Israel worships other gods. They act unjustly to their own people as well as those in other neighboring nations. They murder, they steal. We see pictures and stories in the scriptures of sometimes them actually participating in child sacrifice as ritualistic worship to other foreign gods. It gets incredibly ugly, and God is not pleased. Not long after King David's reign, the kingdom actually divides into two parts. In the north, it's called the Kingdom of Israel. In the south, the Kingdom of Judah. Because of the broken covenant, God brought judgment on Israel and Judah and allowed foreign nations from the east to come, destroy and occupy both kingdoms. We'll actually hear about some of those nations in the following weeks coming up. Nations like Assyria and Babylon. The people of God actually get kicked out of their promised land and put into exile, scattered across the world. This period lasted for many years, and it's during this time that God sends prophets to speak on his behalf, to remind his people and the people of other nations the way God intended them to live. And this is where we find ourselves today. Our first story is about justice. We're going to start in a book called Isaiah, chapter 59. If Bible's to the left or your right, scripture will also be on your screen. If you open your Bible to the middle, it'll open to Psalms. And if you go to the right, you'll find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and then Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who spoke on behalf of God. His writings are filled with warnings and challenges and visions and speech about a future kingdom. Future king, a future Messiah who would come and make things right. 59, let's pick it up in verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. God looks and sees that his own people, the Israelites, are fallen into both personal and corporate injustice. Verse 1 says that surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to listen. Surely God's arms and ears work. Of course they do. But the following verses tell us that Israel's sin, Israel's bloodshed, has caused God to not hear them, to not turn his ear towards them, and to not act on their behalf. Why? In this chapter, the word for justice in Hebrew is mishpat. Can you say mishpat? Whoa, people. Can you say mishpat? Thank you. We're awake. Fantastic. Mishpat describes what is right or how it should be. God is a God of mishpat, a God of justice. It flows from who he is. It's closely connected to his holiness. And God's people who were to represent his way in the world were acting in opposition to God's justice. Let's pick up in 15. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled. There was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so he will repay in wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the island their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from rising sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time on forever, says the Lord. Even in the midst of judgment, of God judging Israel for their sin, we see his mercy and hope. He does not give up on his people. He judges them. He's a just God, a God of mishpat, but he does not give up on them. At some level, every single person in this room can understand a piece of God's justice. When we hear of a young child being taken advantage of by an adult, when we hear or see another human being have a violent act against them, when we watch the news and we hear of another person stepping into a grocery store or stepping into a train station or into a building and detonating a bomb and blowing up a bunch of people. When we hear this news, something in us wants it made right. Something in us wants it made as it should be. We want mishpat. We want justice. Jason Simmons shared last week that in Genesis 1, God created humanity in his image. Literally, God left an imprint on us. Part of his heart, part of his nature is a part of us. Now sin and rebellion and brokenness distorts for us. But sometimes, and sometimes we get it wrong, but that is why when we see injustice, when we see something like that, it just doesn't feel right. Our second story is about mercy. You turn to the right, turn to Daniel 9, go to Isaiah, from there go to Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel is writing during the exile. He's writing to remind the people of God that God is still Lord over all things, that no matter how powerful the force that they're engaging with, that God in his timing will defeat and judge all evil. Daniel says that he'll even judge the nation that God allowed to invade the promised land in the first place. Daniel writes this prayer in chapter 9, asking the Lord to return his people from exile to their land. There's an understanding, there's a tone in the writer that understands that in this prayer that God's response to this prayer rests solely on God's nature of mercy and love. Let's pick up in verse 4. Daniel says this, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servant the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. Skip down to 17. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests on you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Now, the word mercy typically is understood as not getting something you deserve. And it is that here in the context, but it's much, much more than that. The word mercy is closely tied to another idea in this text and throughout the scripture. It's the word chesed, God's love, God's goodness, God's faithfulness. It's all wrapped up in this deep word, chesed. The idea of mercy and love and covenant faithfulness are woven into God's character, into his nature. And Daniel, he knows this. He knows the merciful God, Yahweh. Not long after this prayer, we see the Lord actually grant Daniel's request for those in exile to return to Judah. That doesn't end the suffering and judgment for Israel, but it does show them that in the midst of this judgment, that God extends his mercy, his loving kindness, his chesed to them, his faithfulness, all the while calling his people back to himself, back to relationship with him. Our third story is about hope. It's in Jeremiah 31. Go back to the left towards Isaiah chapter 31. In those days, the Lord spoke through the prophets about a day in the future that was coming. This day when he would restore all broken covenants in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness to the partnership. The prophets spoke of this day as the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is an incredible picture of hope that is coming for the Israelites and for all of humanity in the midst of Israel being unfaithful to God. God continues to show his covenantal faithfulness, his faithful to the covenant, and his desire to provide a way for the whole world to get back into right partnership with him. Beautiful picture of hope. For our last story of hope, turn to the right. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. back third of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Several generations after Jeremiah prophesied, there was a man from Nazareth who came to announce a kingdom of peace, a world that was different than the one people lived in. This man began to heal the sick, began to bring sight to people who were born not being able to see. He said that he could save that which was lost, humankind, and that he could make right what had gone terribly wrong in God's good creation. This man from Nazareth actually claimed to be God in flesh. He actually aligned himself as the God of Israel. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, This, take this, and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Over Jesus' last meal, gathered his closest followers, his closest disciples. Right before Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's been telling his followers the whole time that the Son of Man that came not to establish his kingdom now, but here on earth, but to come to give his life as a ransom for many. Right here at this meal, Jesus is about to go to the cross for all of humanity's sin. And Jesus states and says, I am the new covenant that the prophets spoke of long ago. The scriptures actually say that Jesus embodies the perfect Israel. We see that Jesus can keep all the promises of all the covenants that were broken. He was from the Abrahamic family, and he could bring blessing to the whole world. He could keep the law that God required him to be perfect and blameless in the Ten Commandments, fulfilling it. And he was from the line of David. You see, God sent himself to fulfill what humanity could not. He was so committed to getting his world back on track, to making right what had gone terribly wrong. He was so committed to his covenant, his faithfulness to restore that, that he sent himself in the form of a man. Came to take that on his shoulders, the penalty of humanity's sin and injustice for once and for all. And all that he requires of humanity in this new covenant, all he requires in this new partnership is to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. You might be in a place in life right now where you actually believe this, that you are actually a follower of Jesus. You would say, yeah, man, I believe in Jesus. But today might be a day to take a step back into returning to this loving relationship in some area in your life. That you can say, yeah, it's an area of my life I just haven't been giving to the Lord. I just haven't wanted him to have that part of my life. I've just been hiding that from him. You might be in a place right now where you can be like me sometimes, like that little obstinate child, and you're sitting crisscross applesauce with your fingers in your ear, and you're saying, no, 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 I don't want to listen. I just don't want to hear this. Either way, the invitation's the same. God wants to be in relationship with humanity. Even in light of humanity, you and I rebelling against him and saying, I know how to live this life. I know what to do. I know how things should be. Even in the midst of that, God relentlessly pursues his creation so that we can actually be in right relationship with him and so we can actually flourish in this life. The invitation is to hear from him. The invitation is to return to him for relationship. The invitation is to partner with him to become people of justice and mercy and hope so that the whole world can know who he is. That's what he's inviting us to today. That's what he's going to invite us to this summer as we hear God speak. Jason and the band are going to come and lead us. We're going to take communion together. I really invite you to sit with that this week. And what is God calling me to? Jason opened up our time to give a little bit of space just to listen. Maybe the step this week is to create a little space in your life to listen. I really want to encourage you to be with us when you can here in the summer. We want to come together to remind ourselves that we are loved by a just and merciful and hope-filled God. We want to come on Sundays and we want to learn to listen together. As we return to him, we want to worship and respond in celebration. And we want to learn to be the people of God he wants us to be. People filled with his mishpat, his justice in the world. People filled with mercy. People filled with hope. God says that everyone who believes in Jesus is then given God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide them in this life. We know that only by his Spirit are we going to be formed into these people. And so we're going to do that this summer. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, to speak to us, to give us this life, to give us this picture of what it is to live in light of that. And we believe, we anticipate he is going to grow us in these areas. He's going to grow our heart for his justice. He's going to grow our hearts to be merciful, even though we're not merciful people. And he's going to grow us to have hope on our lips. Let's pray. God, we're grateful that you are speaking. Grateful that you're here and you're present. We're grateful that you do not give up on this project, your world. You, time and time and time again, you relentlessly pursue humanity. God, may we respond today to you. May we hear you. May we listen. May we step out in faith. May we step out in obedience to listen for your words and to begin to order and shape our lives based on how you intend humanity to live. God, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your truth. Continue to shape Mosaic into the kind of community you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. You feel led. We have tables in the front, upstairs. Come and remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Come and remember on the third day that God raised Jesus from the dead, conquering death once and for all, pointing to a hope of a kingdom that would come, that heaven would come crashing into earth one day, and God's reign and rule through Jesus would come, where justice and peace and hope would reign. No more cancer, no more sickness, no more violence. But God's rule and reign here on his good recreated earth. Come and step to the table and remember that if you are in Jesus, you are part of that hope-filled promise. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come and talk to one of us after, come and find us. But if you're in your heart here and you want to make that decision, it's as simple as saying, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus of Nazareth is God. I invite you to come to the table.